seminary, you are not allowed to answer this question. Okay? What is Matthew chapter 5? Yeah, John, good job. Beatitudes. And Beatitudes start what? Beatitudes start the... Nate Mace came. Ready to roll, baby. Yeah, good to have you, Nate. Yes, Sermon on the Mount. Well, I hope that gave you enough time to find your place or to thumb through your phone to get to the Beatitudes. Here is the word of the Lord this morning from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek or the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, joy to the world, and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Yeah. You know, it seems like for me that I am faced with endless opportunities to find value and rest in the practice of consumerism. My latest habit is coffee. The temptation goes something like this. I'll be able to focus if I can just settle in to a warm cup of coffee in a cozy coffee shop. The problem, however, is exasperated when the options are considered of what origin of coffee I should drink and what type of roast the coffee should be. And before long, my chasing after rest in a comfortable cup of coffee has me standing perplexed by the plethora of options, confused by all the coffee jargon, and I'm tired of seeking rest. My plan backfires. By the time I settle into the warm cup of coffee, it's time to seek something else. This is usually when I take up Facebook. And Facebook never delivers on rest. How many of you, some of you are doing it right now, so tell me when you're done. How many of you flipping through Facebook come to the end of your time in Facebook and go, "Whew, I feel refreshed"? It never follows through. In my life, the opportunities that tempt me to find rest in them are things like sports, my work, my family, my likability. We talked about that last week. Speaking opportunities, writing opportunities, surfing the net, Netflix. Anyone else? Netflix, just me? Okay. Yeah, that kid, Netflix, yeah. Working out. You know, these things aren't bad. There's nothing bad, inherently bad, about my family. It's a good thing to have rest in your family. I think it's a good thing, Jeff, to have rest in Netflix, because I like Netflix, so yeah. I think it's good to go work out. If you're interested in working out, you can join us tomorrow at 5:15 in the morning. I think it's a good thing to work out. That's not bad. See, but the issue is that these things in and of themselves are just not very good in following through with fulfillment of rest. I'm never fully known in any one of those particular activities. In fact, I find most often that the more I consume, the more I strive to find peace in the above activities, the more I am restless, I am peaceless, I am identity-less. You know, it's almost like a lust. I can spend all this time on Facebook trying to find relaxation. And it never follows through. Like, it just never fulfills me. I don't know if you would identify with that, if you know what I mean. I wonder if you ever feel the same way. As much, you know, like, as much as we try to find rest in the latest Netflix episode, it tends to always lead us down a track of 3.5 hours of binging. And we feel way more tired and sleep deprived than when we first set out to find relaxation. It just never follows through. Or maybe that you would agree with me that the mall, no matter how much we buy, that it can never come through with its promises to make us feel good about ourselves. Or that our work, no matter how invested we've put all of our life's meaning into our work, that it doesn't seem to ever make us feel wholly accomplished. If you're like me, all of this chasing after the lust of feeling complete has you tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to find peace in this world. I'm tired of trying to find peace in the news. It only leads me, I don't know about you, but when I read the news, it only leads me trying to find people that agree with the way that I read the news. Boy, if you're like me, this weekend has you really tired. You're exhausted. The Beatitudes, so here we are at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, it's interesting to me, they take place at up the mountain at the feet of Jesus. The Beatitudes are not imperatives. Let's just keep this in mind, that they're not imperatives. They're not a list of what to do. They are characteristics that mark the community of the blessed. See, another way of putting the Beatitudes is saying there are characteristics of the good life. And isn't, Stephen, isn't it the good life that we're chasing anyways? The good life where I can have my martini and sit on the beach and just watch Netflix until I die? The good life. I don't drink martinis, all right? I was just saying. I probably shouldn't have said that, okay? Probably should have used another example. Don't fire me. The most famous sermon ever preached begins with descriptions of the blessed community. The sermon, it begins with the good life. The commands come later, but first, Jesus paints the picture of what the good life even looks like. He paints the picture of what community life looks like when we are wholly dependent upon God. When the disciples are fully leaned in. When they have completely surrendered. The Beatitudes describe a people who have nothing else to try. Nowhere else to turn. No other place to find rest for the good life. They describe them as poor in spirit. The Beatitudes describe a people who've become merciful, pure, and peaceable because of their utter dependence upon God and poverty in everything else. See, out of their release to manipulate power to benefit ourselves and our confession to rest in the graciousness of Jesus, we are transformed into people that inherit and look like the kingdom of God. If I had a point, this would be it. So I'm trying to pause for dramatic effect, Daniel. I hope it works. The Beatitudes are about receiving the gracious love of God towards us in Jesus Christ. So let me ask again, are you tired? Would you consider coming on up to me? Come up with me to the mountain. And let us sit at the feet of Jesus. And let us receive the gracious mercy of God that comes to us in grace. Did you come to church this morning? Probably not, but maybe one of you did. Did you come to church this morning wondering what the gospel might have to say about the events unfolding in our world? Come on up with me, would you? Let's go to the mountain. Let us turn in our 24-hour news cycle with this perpetuating fear for the rest and the peacefulness that come to us in the gracious love of Jesus. Dennis, I could tell you what you would find there up on the mountain at the feet of Jesus. I could tell you what type of person you will become. But I think it's better for you to experience it for yourself. So would you come on up with me? Let's go to the mountain. Are you tired? Are you weary? Come on up. Let's go to the mountain. Let's go to Jesus. One of the best ways that I've seen this illustrated is through an illustration that my father has used several times growing up. And I would like, in closing remarks here, I would like to use this illustration with you. I think the illustration speaks louder than my words. So I need a volunteer. I would like a volunteer that's under the age of, let's say, 13. You got to really want it, though. There's only three people that really want it. So here we go. Four people. I'm going to go with Grace. Yes. Yeah. You did it. You won $1 million. All right. Not really. Let's get this chair out for you. You know what? I was going to use a chair, but you're tall enough. You don't need a chair. All right. Okay, Grace, I'm going to need help from the community, though. Why don't you stand over here? Grace, we're going to assign to you, right? Each one of these blocks are going to represent something in your life that just keeps you busy, like things that you do in normal day life. So, like, let's say, what will you do after you get home from church? You're going to watch Netflix. All right, this block right here represents Netflix. What else will you do with your day, Grace? Birthday parties. Anyone else in here ever have birthday parties to go to? Right? Obligations, parties, yes, friends, right? What shall this block represent? What will you do later tonight? Yeah, and eat. You'll probably eat at some point, right? So meals and eating time with family. Yes, that's right. This will represent that. What will you do tomorrow? You're going to go to school. What else keeps you busy? Do you do anything on Saturdays? Basketball, right? And what was it? School, right? And then relationships. Oh, Grace, you're not dating anyone, are you? Good, because it'd be embarrassing to admit it to everyone else. But you have friendships, right? Oh, yes. And do you do social media? A little bit. What do you do? Pinterest and music. Oh, you do Pinterest and what? Ah, you lip sync on an app called Musical.ly. Yeah, yeah, you're having a problem keeping all your stuff together, Grace. Here we go. And then that was Musical.ly, and then this is, what'd you say, Pinterest?
Yeah.
Awesome, great. Okay. One day, do you Instagram? You don't Instagram? One day you will. Hey, this. Okay. All right. And you're going to have to manage that, right? You're going to have to make sure that you get all the right pictures and everything on there, just like Pinterest with the ideas and Musical.ly with all that stuff. Well, you don't date yet, but one day you will. Here we go, Dad. We'll make this a really big item in her life, okay? Really big item. It's going to cause a lot of stress for everyone, okay? And one day you're going to go to college probably, right? Or you'll go into a career and you'll have that to manage, okay? But let's say that Grace, what, how old are you, Grace, 12?
No,
11. 11, okay. Let's say that Grace wasn't 11 years old. Let's say Grace that was 25 years old, right? And she had her boss to manage. Yeah, this not a good block. Bosses suck, okay? All right. She had a boss to manage, right? And had to go home and had to cook dinner and had to provide for children, right? That becomes tough. And it becomes a lot to manage, right? Life in itself, it just becomes a lot. And some of these things are really good things. And some of these things will promise rest for her. Oh, Grace, you need to go to counseling. Got to hold that together. It's all right. If you could just think about all of these blocks, and I won't be your imagination this morning, but if you could think about what all of these represent for you. Now, Grace, if I were to tell you that to fully embrace the cross, it would require everything, you know, it would require both hands to really, really take a hold of Jesus, to really embrace the love of God to you. What would you have to do with everything that's in your hands? I mean, just, you know what, just go ahead and just grab that with both your hands. Go ahead. You're cheating! Nothing can hold both hands. Yeah, something like that, right? That in order to, go ahead and just let them all drop. Yeah, there you go, right? That in order to come after Christ, right? That it requires that everything else drops. Thanks, Grace, you can sit down. I'll pick it up in just a second. The Beatitudes describe to us a people who have been emptied. I want you to think about what you just saw, as clumsy as it was. It's never clean anyways, right? The Beatitudes describe a people who have dropped everything else. They describe a people who've been emptied of self-will and have surrendered to the compelling call of God to fill all things, to be in all things. These are people that find themselves sitting at the feet of Jesus, emptied, ready to receive from his bountiful grace. These are people that cry out against the injustices and sins of this world, refusing to abuse their positions of privilege and have an intense desire for righteousness. These are people whose path in life has been rerouted to respond to the gracious invitation to follow Jesus. This morning, could we hear these words as an invitation to release all that we thought we knew about the priorities of this world and the good life, to embrace the tender, gracious blessedness of our Savior? This is how I would like us to respond this morning. Since we're all together as a family, it makes sense to make use of these wonderful altars that have been provided to us as a tool of worship. I would like to invite us as families, and whether your family is here or not, you can join me because my family's not here, and you can pray with me. I would like us to come just spend some time at the feet of Jesus. You know, in our tradition, we use these altars. They're like kneeling benches. It doesn't mean anything. It's just symbolic to really submit yourself, right? And maybe this morning, in order to submit yourself, what you're going to have to do is what Grace just modeled for us. I think it's way too easy to read the Beatitudes as things that we need to do today. It's impossible for you to do those things, so stop it. And I'm not interested in that conversation. I don't care about your peacemaking that you're doing. I could care less about it. What I care about is the type of person that Jesus forms you into being when you rest in his love and care. You will be peace to all the world, but it first starts with Jesus, not with your good ideas. You see what I'm saying? That I think for us to really look like the community we want to look like, it's going to have to require that we take seriously the self-emptying. Because I'm not very good at it, Kevin. I really, really stink at it. I spend all my time trying to find rest in places that are empty. And rarely does my list of things that I have to do in a day, all the blocks that are in my arms, rarely is it enough time to pray. Rarely does it leave enough time to take the anxieties of this world to the feet of Jesus and to give it to him. Do I care about peace? Of course I care about peace, but I care about the peace that Jesus provides. That's what I care about. Do I care about the safety of others? Absolutely, but I care more about what Jesus wants to do to those people through his love and care, and how he wants us to be people of care and love to those people. But we don't get that direction by hanging out on Facebook. I've never come closer to Jesus through my time in Facebook. I come closer to Jesus when I'm here, when I'm with you, when I am surrendered. My best ideas have always come to me when I pray. My best ideas always come to me when I drop everything else. I've noticed something, Kevin, that's interesting about me. That when I find places to surrender, what I find, I'm never lacking. I'm always feeling whole. And what I find is that the people around me, It's amazing. When I'm surrendered and I find places to rest in the words of Jesus, I find that I become like those words of the Beatitudes to the people around me. But when I am not surrendered, I become anxious. When I'm not surrendered, I become worried and afraid. And when I'm not surrendered, daggone it, I hate to admit this, but I become hateful. You know, I become a bad person. So, on Family Sunday, I thought it was applicable to call us to come to the altar and to pray alongside. Maybe we could teach our children what the altars have meant to us all of these years. And we could surrender our well-laid plans at the feet of Jesus and just see what happens to our community. I promise we'll be a place of peace. I promise you, because that's the gospel. I promise you that we'll become humble. We'll become meek. We'll become kind and generous. I promise that to you, because that is the gospel. But it doesn't come from our imagination. It comes from surrendering to the will of God. So the band's going to play, and I invite you just to 5 minutes to take advantage of the altars, and let's pray together. Would you join me? Let's bow our heads, and I'll lead us in prayer, and then you can kind of make your way on up as you feel led. Father, thank you for the Beatitudes. Lord, thank you for grace and her ability to show us what surrender looks like. God, I pray that you fill our hearts with your peacefulness. That God, you would lead us to peacemaking. But peacemaking in the way of Jesus. Words of peace in the way of Jesus. God, would you so sanctify our community that God, we look like peaceable neighbors for the world. God, would you shape our hearts and our desires to be just like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Come, family, let's pray together.